Welcome. My name is Joel Whitfield. I'm the assistant pastor here at Triangle Christian Center. We are so glad that you are tuning in this week. No matter where you're watching or even listening from, we know that God can move in a car, at your job, in your house, at the gym, or even at a store. I want to encourage you to let God speak to you today through His Word. Amen. Well, before we get into today's message, let's just spend some time worshiping and thanking our Heavenly Father.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears have come. From my mother's womb, you have
Wasn't that an awesome song? It goes right in line with what we're going to be talking about today. I want you, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Matthew chapter 17, and we're going to start in verse 14. Now, as you're going there, or maybe you're even listening, it's okay. as you're going there, I wanted to give you a little insight. So the disciples have been following Jesus. They've seen miracles. They have taken part in laying hands on people and everything like that. So you would think at this point that their faith would be built up, that there would be no issues. But as you know, sometimes people never learn. Sometimes we are mentally assenting to what Jesus is telling us. So I want you to see what's happening here. And it says in verse 14, "And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him," talking about Jesus, "kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water, so he has no control over himself.'" Now listen to this. He says, "So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him." Now, the disciples before, they have already been sent out two by two. They've healed people. They've seen signs and wonders. They've seen Jesus do things. You would think at this point, hey, they got it. They got it in the bag. They got everything working. But he said in verse 16, "So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him." In that moment, Jesus doesn't address the boy right away, or even the father. He turns and he addresses his disciples. I want you to listen to what he says. He says, "O faithless and perverse generation." He is talking to his own disciples right now. "How long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? You know what? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him. The child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast him out? Why could we not do it?" So Jesus said to them, listen to this. He says, "Because of your unbelief." Your unbelief. And now, I know right now you're thinking, there's no way that they're walking in unbelief. With everything they've seen Jesus do, with everything that they have done, there's no way they could be walking in unbelief. But he says, "Because of your unbelief. For assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed." Now, there's something that I put in my meals in the morning. I do eat a lot of oatmeal. And one thing I put in there is chia seeds. And man, they are so small. Well, I imagine mustard seeds are around the same size. It's so small. This is what Jesus is saying. "I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed," if you have the smallest amount of faith, "you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move." What is he saying? You guys are not getting it. You obviously don't even have a little faith. He's saying this to his own disciples. He says, "Move from here. You will say to this mountain, 'Move from here,' and it will move. And nothing will be impossible to you." What do you need? Just a small amount of faith. Just a mustard seed size of faith. That's all you need. And apparently, disciples didn't even have that. What was happening? What was the reason why they couldn't heal the boy? Unbelief. He He says, because of your unbelief. They were doing things halfway. They were not believing in what they were saying. This is the word for us today. Unbelief is the enemy of God. What's the opposite of faith? Fear. Fear. Every single time. You know, and just like the song we just heard, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Fear doesn't belong in the child of God. God doesn't create fear. Only Satan does. Satan uses fear to control his people. And as long as you allow fear to control you, it will bind you up. You will never accomplish anything for God. It will control you. It'll rule your life. But what do we need to say to fear? We need to say no to fear. Get out. Unbelief is the enemy of God every single time. Not acting, and I want to take it a step further, not acting on the word of God is walking in unbelief. It's walking in unbelief. How long have you been coming here? How long have you been hearing the word of God? How long have you been receiving faith, hearing faith? Because we know by scripture it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How long? Many of you have been coming here over 20 years. You know, we've been at different locations, but you've been hearing the word of God. You've been receiving faith, and you haven't been acting on it, and you have to wait for times to get hard for you to be acting on it. You're walking in fear. You're walking in unbelief. If you're not acting on the word, you're walking in unbelief. Let me give you some other examples. Turn into Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. And it says this, on the same day when the evening had come, he said to them, let's cross over to the other side. I want you to always know, if Jesus says that we're going to do something, guess what we're doing? We're doing it. There's no ands, ifs, or buts about it. It's going to happen. We're going to the other side. He says, now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. Verse 37, and a great windstorm arose. A problem arose. A situation arose. And the waves beat against the boat. And so that it was already filling. Was Jesus frantic? Was Jesus losing his cool? Was Jesus walking in fear? I want you to listen what Jesus was doing. He says, but he was in the stern. What was he doing? He was asleep on a pillow. I want you to let that sink in. Jesus wasn't afraid. Well, yeah, but that's Jesus. It doesn't make a bit of difference. Yeah, he was fully God, fully man. He's a person just like you and me. The disciples saw things that Jesus did. And even with Jesus in the boat, they started to walk in fear. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat against the boat, so it was always filling. So Jesus was in the back of the boat, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care that we are perishing? It's at that point that I would just want to jerk the slack out of the disciples and say, don't you know who's in the boat with you? Don't you know? Listen, I remember when 9/11 hit. It was a terrible thing that happened. I truly believe that it could have been avoided if the church would have prayed, but we didn't. But since then, they've changed a lot of things at the airport, running through security, all these different things. And I think more people have been afraid to fly. They've, of course, walked in fear of that. Not me. I know who's with me. I know whose I am. And as long as I'm on that plane, we're not going down. If I say, I'm going to Oklahoma, or I'm going to Texas, or I'm going to Africa, or I'm going to Mexico, or I'm going to El Salvador, we're getting there. We're going to get there. I've already spoken to his existence. God has a plan, has a purpose why I'm going there. And it's not for me to go down on an airplane. That's never going to happen. Never. But what do we do? What do Christians do? Oh, they fall apart. Oh, I can't do this. I can't do that. Yeah, sometimes I like to drive different places just because I like to see the scenery and things like that. But fastest way to get there, for me, is a plane. But listen, so they awoke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing?" Obviously, they forgot who was in the boat. Then what did Jesus do? Then he arose, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Peace, be still. Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful?" In other words, why are you letting fear control you? You are making fear bigger than me. I love what he said in that scene in Chosen when he was talking to the paralytic man. He said, "You don't need the pool. All you need is me. All you need is him. All you need is Jesus." When you have the greater one living inside of you, there's no demon, there's no devil, there's no sickness, there's no disease that can attack your body. You have the greater one living inside of you. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" All you need is a mustard seed faith. Amount of faith, a little bit of faith. You can say to this mountain, "Move, go over to there," and it will do it. And he says, "Nothing will be impossible to you." And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" They still didn't know who he was. Wow. There was no faith there. They were giving in to fear. Turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 22. Okay, so Jesus had already done feeding the 5,000. It's a miracle that happened. From 5 loaves and 2 fish, feeding a multitude. There wasn't just 5,000 men. You knew that there were women. You knew there were children with them. It was a miracle that happened. And apparently, disciples didn't learn anything from that. Verse 22, immediately Jesus, so Matthew 14, verse 22, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. Okay, I want you to take this boat, go to the other side. Remember what I said in the beginning. If Jesus says something, if he says, "Hey, I want you to go to the other side," he plans for you to go be on the other side, okay? While he sent the multitudes away. Verse 23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain to by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, the latest part of the night, when it seemed like all hope was lost, Jesus went to them. How? Walking on the sea. Walking on the storm-tossed winds, waves. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled and said, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. Cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." What is he saying? Do not walk in fear. Do not let fear control you. No matter what you see, do not let fear control you. I don't know who that's for today, but it's for somebody. No matter what you see, no matter what somebody is telling you, no matter what the doctor's saying to you, choose to walk in faith and not fear. What do you need? Mustard seed faith. That's all you need. That's all you need. A little bit of faith. He says, "It is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you in the water." I encourage you, if you have not already, one of the last episodes in the Chosen season 3 is that scene where Jesus comes to them walking on the water. I encourage you to watch it. If it doesn't bring you to tears, there's something wrong with you. With all that the disciples are experiencing, with all, and especially Peter, there's a reason that Peter called out to Jesus. None of the disciples did. There's a reason why he was the only one to step out. Everyone could have. There's the reason why Peter, and I encourage you to watch that and let it bring you to tears, okay? So what did Jesus say? He said, "Come." And when Peter had got down from the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. He stepped out in faith. When he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. Began to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." So he got on, started walking on the water, kept his eyes on Jesus. But what happened? He took his eyes off Jesus. He started looking at the circumstance. He started looking at the wind, the waves, the situation, the report of the doctor, what the finances look like, whatever you want to put in there. He started making those things bigger than Jesus. And he began to sink. He began to give in to fear. He let it control him. He began to sink. "Lord, save me!" And immediately, Jesus didn't wait for him to be all the way down. He said, "Lord, save me!" And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, caught him, and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith. Yeah, you stepped out. Yeah, you walked toward me, but you took your eyes off me. You started to make those things bigger than I was. Oh, you of little faith. Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." It took them to this point to believe that he was truly the Son of God. They hadn't gotten it. Who lives inside of you? The greater one. Jesus does. We know all that he did for us. We know the price that he paid for us. We saw in Scripture the miracles, signs, and wonders. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He's still doing things today. He's still doing things. And Jesus is saying to us today, "Why did you doubt? Oh, you of little faith. Why did you doubt? Why? Where is your faith? You gave in to fear." You've probably heard this before, but in Scripture, the Bible says the phrase, "Do not fear." And if you look that up, it doesn't say it 50 times, 100 times, 200 times, 300 times, but it says it 365 times. Now, if you think about that, what else comes to mind? How many days are there in a year? 365 days. You will be given a reason 365 times a year to give into fear. But Jesus tells you 365 times in Scripture to do not fear, because he knows what's going to happen. He knows who is attacking you. And he's saying it. Don't give in to fear. Don't give in to fear. Do not fear. Do not fear. Do not fear. So what is he saying? Have faith. Have faith. Have faith. Have faith. 365 times. God's saying, do not fear. Do not fear. That proves to me that he never leaves us nor forsakes us. He's always going to be with us. So what do we need to say to fear? No. Even the you might say, well, even the disciples gave in to fear. It's okay if I do. Listen, the more you give in to fear, the more you will let it control you. And what are you doing? You're creating a lifestyle. You are creating a habit. You're making a part of you. So no matter what happens, fear is going to be your first response. I forget the phrase that sometimes people self-diagnose themselves where it's a fear of everything. They fear they have this. Well, they heard something. Well, I fear I have that. They have created fear as a lifestyle, where Jesus says, do not give in to fear. Do not fear. Do not fear. He's saying it because he knows what's going to happen. How do I conquer fear? Well, what's the opposite of fear? The opposite of fear is faith. If you take the example of people in Scripture, whether it be Moses, Noah, and especially Abraham, they had many opportunities to give in to fear, but they chose to walk by faith and not by sight, not by the situations around them, not by what people were saying. They chose to walk in faith. We can do the exact same thing. The exact same thing. Because the greater one lives inside of us. The Scripture says that faith pleases God. We see in this world that people constantly give in to fear. Constantly give in to fear. I want to give you a personal example. What would happen if, and I've given you a little bit of my testimony, is what would happen if I gave in to fear with what the doctors wanted to diagnose me with? What would happen if our pastor gave in to fear with what the doctors diagnosed him with? Said, oh, you have this. What would happen if we gave in to fear? Well, it would control us. It would become a part of us. We wouldn't be here today. But it's because we chose to walk by faith and not by sight. It's because we chose to make God greater than any diagnosis, anything that Satan will ever try to throw at us in our life. We chose to put God first. Amen? Well, what does fear do? Fear becomes you. It consumes everything that you are. Well, okay, God, well, Lord, increase our faith. Even the disciples said this. Turn into to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17 and verse 5 and 6, okay? The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Okay, obviously, apparently to us, we don't have that much faith. So we need you to increase our faith. So he said, so what did Jesus say? Sure, I'll do that. I'll increase your faith. No, he said this. If you have faith as a mustard seed, it's another time he's saying it. If you have a little bit of faith, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up from the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. It would obey you. Jesus is saying, you have everything you need. I don't need to increase your faith. You have all the faith that you need inside of you. Listen, TCC, listen to everyone who's watching. If you're listening in a car, if you're in the gym, if you are overseas, if you're in another country, wherever you are, you have all the faith that you need today. All the faith that you need. If you're being attacked by fear, all you need to do is say no to fear. Give in to faith, not fear. Choose to walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. Amen. Mustard seed faith. You have all you need. You have the faith inside of you. There's no need to increase it. Yes, it's good to receive faith. Every time you hear the word of God preach, you are receiving faith. But now it's time for us to act on it. Act on it. Every time you hear the word, you are receiving faith. Now, go back into Matthew chapter 17. Starting in verse 14, and I want to read this out of the message. When you hear this, yeah, it might sound like a rebuke, but it's what we need. Starting in verse 14, it says, at the bottom of the mountain, they were met by a crowd of waiting people. As they approached, a man came out of the crowd and fell to his knees begging, "Master, have mercy on my son. He goes out of his mind and suffers terribly, falling into seizures. Frequently he is pitched into the fire and other times into the river. I brought him to your disciples, but they could do nothing for him." And as you know before, he doesn't address the father or the son, he addresses his disciples. And here's what he says. Plain and simple. Jesus said, "What a generation. No sense of God. No focus to your lives. How many times do I have to go over things you apparently have not learned? How much longer do I have to put up with this? Bring the boy here." And he ordered the afflicting demon out, and it was out, gone. From that moment on, the boy was well. But it didn't stop there. I want you to hear this. When the disciples had Jesus off to themselves, they asked, "Why couldn't we throw it out? Why couldn't we do it?" They wanted some philosophical reason. It was an off day. Jesus just wasn't working that day. Here's what he says. Because you're not taking God seriously. You are not taking God seriously. The simple truth is that if you had a mere kernel of faith, a poppy seed, say you would tell this mountain, "Move," and it would move. There is nothing you wouldn't be able to tackle. Are you taking God seriously? Are you taking faith seriously? Don't you even have a small kernel of faith? Many people say, "Yeah, yes, yes, I have that small kernel." Well, then the issue is that you're not acting on the word of God. You're not acting on it. Or for many, they're just not taking it seriously. And what happens with a lot of us? Of course, they've been coming here for over 20 years, and they wait for a situation to get hard, to get tough. Tough times hit everyone. Okay? Scripture plainly says, in this life you have trouble. But I like how it continues. It says, but take heart, I've already overcome the world. God's already taken care of everything. All we have to do is trust and believe in him. Walk by faith, not by sight. But continue, because faith is an act. It's not just something you say, it's something you do. Amen? But why do we wait for hard times? What do we need to do? Start now using our faith. Applying what you have been taught Apply what you have been taught. What was the phrase that he said in The Chosen when he was getting ready to send his disciples out two by two? He said, well, one of the disciples said, well, I don't feel any different. And he said, I don't need you to feel anything to do great things. Well, I have to be on my P's and Q's. Well, I have to be perfect. I have to meet this godly standard before I can work miracles. No, you don't. It says that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. They're always there. If God wanted to use perfect people, he wouldn't have chosen his disciples. That's so good. He wouldn't have chosen those people. You don't have to feel anything to do great things. All you have to do is to believe in the one that lives inside of you and walk by faith and not by sight. Start today, people. Start now. Use your faith. You have everything that you need inside of you. Everything you need is inside of you. What do we need? The Bible says, mustard seed faith. Faith pleases God. God is honored when we exercise our faith. And he moves when we do. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the truth in your word. You said that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's been cutting us up this morning. But the reason why it's doing that is because it's cutting up all that unbelief, cutting out all that fear. Maybe there's something that we're holding on to, a lie from Satan. Like I said, unbelief, maybe even sin we've been running back to. Thank you for correcting us today. Father, forgive us for losing sight of who you are, what you did, and where you live inside of us. We will, and I'm going to say that again, we will act on your word now. We're not going to say, well, I'm going to wait till I get out of college. I'm going to wait till I finish this job. I'm going to wait till times are bad. No, I'm going to do it now, today. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you. We give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Right now, we're going to receive our tithe and offering. There's two ways you can give, especially watching us online. For those that are tuning in the Raleigh-Durham area or even Chapel Hill, you can open up your Church Center app or text your amount to 84321. It'll take you through all the steps that you need. Or if you're watching us from another state, even another country, you can visit our website at trianglechristiancenter.com. And on the front page, you have a giving tab. Click on that. It'll take you through the steps that you need. Our Heavenly Father, he loves a cheerful giver. We give to him because why? Because he first gave to us. It's an act of worship. It's an act of obedience to him. So before we give today, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity and the privilege that we have to be a doer of your word and not just a hearer only. We're so grateful and thankful for the price you paid for us. We give out of our heart to you. You said that you would bless us to seek exceedingly abundantly above all we can even think or even ask for. And Lord, those blessings that we receive are not just for us to keep, but to give out, to constantly give. We follow your example, Heavenly Father. We thank you. We give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, we said amen. We want to thank everybody for joining us. We encourage you to tune in Sunday morning at 10 a.m., 10:30 a.m. Join us for worship. Come here. Let's love on each other, and let's dive into the Word of God. Amen. We'll see you then.